Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. We're in program number 348. If you'd like a copy of it, Sharon will tell you four different ways at the end of the program. It's absolutely free. Have your pencil and paper ready so you can tell us whether you want a CD or a audio tape. Make sure you mark down program number 348. We have some singing, some music today. And we have a lot of Bible teaching and some Bible reading. And right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord. We have testimonies as well. Let's go to the throne now to ask the Lord to anoint this service. Father, the human heart, you stated in Jeremiah, is deceitful. It's corrupt. And the unregenerated heart, that is. But the hearts of those of us that are born again of the Spirit, that are deep into your word, there's no corruption there because your fullness has grown up in us. There's very few people in this world or in the churches today that you have grown up in them. The world is deceived by words. What it is, Father, I know very well because you've taught me, is that the thing that's going on this earth is that it's a war of words. The world is so corrupt that even insane people think they're right. They think they're so right, and their hearts are so corrupt, and they're so deceived that they actually are killing their own children and saying that you told them to do that. Lord, the book of Jeremiah tells us that the heart is deceived, it's deceitful, full of corruption. Who can know it? You know it. And when we know the word, then that pushes all the deceitfulness out of our heart. If we keep your word, if we value your word as being precious and being the very thing that causes our heart not to be deceived any longer. And therefore, Father, we ask that you will open people's hearts and let the word, let you enter into them today. So that's the beginning of regeneration. The very first stage of it is to get the to come to you in the first place, and then to ask for you to wash all their filthy sins away that they've committed. A lot of people, their hearts are so corrupt and deceived that they don't believe that they've done anything wrong. Most of the people in the world believe that if they do good and they don't kill anybody and that they don't steal or they don't commit fornication or adultery or any of these things, that they're all right, that they can get into heaven with their own good deeds. But your word tells us that they cannot get into the kingdom of heaven, their hearts deceiving them into so many different things. Because they still reject the people that you have sent into the world, and they still talk about them as though they're the right ones and we are the wrong ones. And they do so many other things, but without you living in them, it wouldn't make any difference how many good deeds that they do, because we must be born again of the Spirit. That's what they can't get into their heads. They just feel, well, I'm a pretty good guy, and there's people that do worse things than I do. But that's what, this is how their heart deceives them. Because they're operating under their own thoughts, their own ideas, their own opinions. But opinions and their own thoughts and their own opinions, their own ideas are not going to get them into the kingdom of heaven. They must be born again. They must open the door of their heart and allow you to come into them so that they have your life, so that you mingle your life with theirs, because they have temporal life, but they have no eternal life. And nowhere does it say in the Bible that if they do a lot of good deeds, that their life is going to turn from a temporal life to an eternal life. Because only you have eternal life, and they don't have that. And their heart is deceiving them into believing that they're justified just because they have maybe had a mother that thought she was justified, or a father, or that they've been around a lot of people that are puffed up and are walking around like a rooster with their chest out and a bold look on their face. All this is deceitful. It's all coming from their corrupt, deceived hearts. He said that the entire world would be deceived in the last days. And Lord, the only way that people are going to get out of this deceitfulness is to pick up the King James Version of the Bible, or the original, the true original Hellenic Greek text. Hellenic Greek is the only Greek that is spoken and written by the Jews. And then the original Hebrew and Aramaic writings. Jesus, the four Gospels, spoke Hebrew and Aramaic. The Bible was not primarily written in Greek. I'm saying this, you know this, Lord, but I'm just saying this so that the people can hear it. Not in Greek. The Bible was written by the Jews. You call the Jews, and they are the ones that wrote all the oracles. They wrote the Bible, and without the Bible, the whole world would not have an opportunity to read about you, to see how deceived their hearts are. So we asked, we pray, Lord, that you'll give them a hunger and a thirst to get rid of their deceived hearts. Because the whole world we can see are deceived. They see them committing suicide because they lost money on the stock market. They didn't know whether to invest or not to invest. They thought their own heart thought that it was right to invest in stupid things. The stock market is nothing more than an entity of Las Vegas. I mean, it's gambling. And people gamble their lives away, their lives living and everything. And they gamble their life away by believing their own deceived heart, their own corrupt heart. So, Lord, we ask that these things will go away, and they will go away if they read the Word and change their life to a regenerated life, a saved life, a born-again of the Spirit life, the Jesus kind of life. Lord, that the church will do that as well, because we see that the church is deceived as well, because they're believing things that the media is saying about real born-again Christians that are really front-runners in these last days. They're saying all kinds of filthy things about us, and of course, we have been taught by you, and we've been given the Spirit, the seven spirits, the compounded seven spirits of you, Father, that have caused us to be mortified from this sort of thing. It's a dead, we just receive it as a dead person would, because we're dead to the world but alive towards you, and they don't understand these things that I'm saying. But Lord, they say all these evil things. It's because their hearts, as you says, is so corrupt, so wicked, so evil, so deceived, that who can know what they're doing? And that's why it's so important for us all to get saved, regenerated, be filled with the seven spirits of God, the compounded Holy Spirit of God mentioned in the book of Isaiah and in the book of Revelation, where we are able to reject deception, and we're able to live a regenerated life. Because without your Holy Spirit, You said that there isn't anything that we can do that's right according to the spiritual realm. And the world is getting more and more corrupt. Just when I thought it couldn't get any more corrupt, it's getting more corrupt. All the whole legal system, what they call the legal system, is so corrupted, and they're doing everything the opposite of what you say, that this world is, it's like over with. The mystery of Satan is finished. The mystery of God, of you, Father, is finished. We're letting them know, but they're so arrogant that they believe in their own heart, their own deceitfulness. I mean, they're deceived and they think that's smart. Lord, let the church, the fallen away church, get on the right track to these messages, and let the souls in the world be saved and go on to serve the Lord. Now, the people that are in the churches today that have fallen away, that it looks like there's a big revival, are deceived because they're not saved. They're believing false doctrine, and they're believing things that are false about us, the true Christians. Therefore, they are no longer saved to become part of the Antichrist. Lord, save them all and give the church a zeal. Let them be pulled out of the pit by your word in Jesus' name, and the souls be saved in Jesus' name. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
Okay, so as for me, I walk with God. Joe Leahy, a very fantastic arranger, arranged this for me, and this is our own orchestra. And I'm singing I'll Walk With God, and the choir is behind me as well, our own choir.
I'll walk with God from this day on. His helping hand I'll lean on. This is my prayer, my humble plea. May the Lord be ever with me. There is no death, though eyes grow dim.
pray for me. I have very little time to pray for myself. I'm always praying for somebody else. So I'd appreciate it if you would pray for me. I don't know why I don't pray for myself that much, other than what I just said. All right, so, you know, you're talking about deceitful heart. The world is so corrupt and corrupt. I'm going to read this scripture here from Jeremiah, which states, this is Jeremiah 17, verse 9. God tells us here, the heart, he's talking about all people's hearts, are deceitful above everything else in the whole world. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things. There isn't anything in this world above how deceitful the heart is. You can see people going down the tubes and they don't go to the right place for advice. And when they hear it, their heart is so deceived they can't receive sound doctrine. And it's exceedingly, the heart above all things is also exceedingly corrupt. And when your heart is so deceived, and it's deceitful, you deceive yourselves, you hype yourself into believing things that are false. And it's exceedingly, because of that, it's exceedingly corrupt. And how, who can know it? In other words, if your heart is that deceived and so corrupt, how could you know it? You're absolutely too corrupt and too deceived to know how corrupt you are. What this verse does is it speaks of man's heart. Okay, because as a man thinketh, you actually think in your heart as well, the midst of your body. It actually refers to man's nature. Your nature is exceedingly corrupt and deceived. Otherwise, you wouldn't be fighting my church or God. Now, here to show you several examples of how the Bible plainly states that Jesus was buried in a tomb after his crucifixion. And yet now, he rose from the dead, and that he ascended into heaven. He didn't leave any bones behind. He didn't leave any flesh behind, because just on the same as on the Mount of Transfiguration, he was changed, and he was changed, and was talking to Moses, who had already gone on to be with the Lord. And he was talking to the spirits or the ghosts of Elijah and Moses. And just as he that happened, he was flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. So his flesh and blood and bones, as he was being taken into the kingdom of heaven, were turned into a ecclesiastical body. And he went into heaven that way. But now the world is believing all these. Because the corrupt heart wants to believe that Jesus never rose from the dead, and that his bones were in a coffin, which the Bible is the word of God. It's the truth. And believe me, I know he's in heaven, and that he didn't leave any bones behind us, because the Lord, and I know your deceitful heart may not believe this, but the Lord, before God, I'm telling you the truth, and may God strike me dead now and send my soul to hell if I'm lying to you. I swear above all things that I saw Jesus with my eyes wide open. He's alive, and he's alive forevermore. And I'm not the only one that saw Jesus. Lolly Vegas, a friend of mine who I used to promote and I recorded before, saw Jesus appear before him. I forget whether it was in a dream or if it was with his eyes wide open, like the Lord appeared to me. The Lord appeared to Susie when she was a little girl with her eyes wide open. She saw him coming to earth. He had a red robe. See, the Lord appears to people differently. With me, he had a white robe on. He was sitting on a purple, it looked like velvet-type chair with gold trim on it. He had a small crown on his head. It looked just like it was the most beautiful thing to wear a crown like that. And I just noticed how it wasn't anything like you see a pope wear. It was just real classy looking, very classic, classical, very nice. And he was black hair, black eyes, didn't have blue hair, eyes and blonde stringy hair like the Gentiles try to make him look. The Gentiles who are so deceived want him to be blonde-haired and blue-eyed, you know. And I noticed that some black people want him to be black. One of the guards, I was in prison for the gospel's sake, and when I was there for a parole hearing in Fort Worth, at the prison there, and I was put in the hole for something that I shouldn't have been put in the hole for, because they like to, falsely accuse the Christian. But anyway, the black came and says, you know, that God is black. And I said, no, he's a Jew. It says right in the book of Revelation, he said, where he has hair that is wool. And I said, no, his hair is white like wool. Like he says that his hair would be white like snow. It doesn't mean that he had hair that was made out of snow. And his hair was not made out of wool. It was white like the color of wool. Not wool, okay? So, he says, it doesn't say that. I says, get the Bible. I says, it says it here. He didn't want to open my cell door. I says, get the Bible and bring it over here. So I brought it over. He says, yeah, it does say that. So the blacks want God to be black because they're deceived. And the Norwegians, Swedes, and the Danish, all those people want his hair to be blonde, and they want him to have blue eyes. But that isn't true. The Bible says that his eyes are black. Amen? Mm-hmm. It doesn't even matter. I saw him. His eyes are black, and his hair is black. And he appeared that at one time in the Bible to John. John saw him when he was alive. He had black hair and black eyes like a Jew. He is the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham was the first Jew. Isaac and Jacob the second and third. And he's the lion from the tribe of Judah, because he's like from the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the psalmist David, and all these people. And, you know, I've lived in Israel, and those people, you don't really see any blonde-haired people over there, or blue-eyed ones. There may be some, I don't know, but most of them have got black eyes. And Jesus is a Jew. And the Bible in Isaiah said that he didn't look any different than the other Jews. Amen?
Amen.
He says that there's nothing special about the way he looked. He just looked like a Jew. Amen?
Amen.
And the woman at the well said, how is it that you, a Jew, are talking to me, a Gentile? Because back then they just didn't speak one to another. So the only way that you can get rid of being deceived is to read the Bible. Now, another thing, the supposed to be legal system today, the Lord laughs at this, and he is angry at the judicial system today, because everything they're doing is corrupt, deceitful, above all things, above everything because they're unsaved. Like, for instance, the actual real law of God says, you know, that if a person murders somebody, especially that, like that little 9-year-old girl that they're talking about on the news right now, by the time you hear this tape, they may be finished talking about it, but they're trying to decide whether he should get the death penalty or not. Well, the Bible says, because they're trying to say that he's crazy. Well, really, when you come right down to brass tacks on it, everybody in the world is crazy. Amen? Amen? And the Bible says that the people in the political system are crazy. He said in the last days they'd be insane, mad, and there'd be perplexity among nations, that they're sick in the head. They don't know anything. And so the Lord says, he doesn't care whether you're crazy or not. Of course, if you killed somebody, murdered somebody, then you are crazy, but that doesn't mean you get off the hook with the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
You still have to be put to death. That's the law. And a lot of you people out there, you don't want to believe that because you say, what good would that do the person that's dead? That doesn't come into question with the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
He doesn't care if you're nuttier than a fruitcake. Okay, he doesn't care if you're crazy as a jaybird. If you kill somebody, there has to be a message sent to everybody in the world. If you murder somebody, then you have to be murdered. All right?
Amen.
And that is because if you don't do that, then we have a lawless society. Now, then we have, so this little girl, what he did is he raped her, had sex with this 9-year-old little girl, and then he murdered her, and she was not quite dead yet, but he put her in a plastic sack and then buried her alive. And when they dug her up, they found these claw marks. She was ripping the plastic open with her little hands. And they're trying to decide, well, he was crazy. So that gives him the license to do it, to get life in prison, so all of us can support him. You know, this is corrupt. This is not the Lord at all. The man, you don't have to take a long time to figure out what to do. The Lord plainly states in the Bible what to do. And why do we have so many drive-by shootings today? Because they say, well, if a person is under 18 years old, then they can't be put to death. The Bible doesn't leave any openings for how old you are or what. You kill somebody, you get killed. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that a boy or a girl that disrespects their parents should be put to death. Amen?
Amen.
Right. And so the Bible also states if a woman commits adultery, or a man does, they're to be stoned to death. This is what the Bible says. Well, but see, unsaved people, Jeremiah 17:9 states that the heart of unregenerated people, unsaved people, even people that call themselves Christians, their heart is deceitful above all things, above everything else in this world. And it's exceedingly corrupt. Exceedingly corrupt. And then you put somebody in power that is not regenerated, and they really get puffed up. They just become so arrogant that they think that they can call the shots. And all depends, you know, like if you're a government worker like Bill Clinton, and you murder all the people, you give the orders to murder all the people at Waco, the people think, well, you know, it's the president, and he can get by abusing the law, or that he can't, he just has to keep the law. But the people in the Bible must keep the law. It doesn't make any difference who you are. If it's David, the psalmist David, he was punished severely for corrupting the law, for doing something wrong. He committed adultery, and then he sent the man whose wife he was committing adultery with to the front line so he could be killed, murdered. So he murdered the man. And after that, all of his wives, the Lord gave it back to him. They were all had sex with his son. Every single one of them committed fornication with him. And people had lost all respect for him. And he was stoned and all sorts of things. He was no longer king. He was too corrupt. And before that, he was the apple of God's eye. But it doesn't make any difference if you take a president. Oh, everybody, you know, voted him in and they thought he was great. But then when he did what he did and he lied to the American public, how could you want to have a liar as your president or the head of the world order? You have to be so deceived and corrupt. That it's because you don't know God. You're not regenerated. So there's four different things that I told you that we have to look at so far as our condition before we become saved. We have to look at what we are. Otherwise, if we think we're not corrupt or deceived, well, then we're just going to go on thinking that we're something else. Because the world teaches you, you have to have self-esteem when the Lord tells you that you don't have anything in your heart. Your heart condition, in your heart at all, because it's corrupt and deceived, to have any self-esteem. As a matter of fact, the Lord says he wants you to stop living that old life, or the old corrupt and deceived life, and let him live in you so that you can be undeceived and uncorrupt, uncorruptible by the Spirit of God living in you. But our condition before we're regenerated is the main thing. Before regeneration, our condition before regeneration, during regeneration, we have to look at both sides. We have to look at what we're doing before regeneration, and then we have to, during the time that we are regenerated, we have to, we must look into both times, because that's what I'm doing right now and showing you, man, if I look back at the way that I was deceived before, you have to admit that that the Word of God is true, that you are deceived and that you are corrupt. You couldn't be anything else. I don't care how many good deeds you do, the Lord says that your good deeds are like filthy rags. Because if you say that good deeds can get you into heaven rather than the Spirit of God and being washed in the blood of Jesus and going through the four different stages that you have to go through in order to be regenerated, well, then you're deceived. You're corrupt. Because why did God have to come into this world and go through all the process that he did of human living? And why did he have to die on the cross? And then raised from the dead and then ascend into heaven, if you could just do good deeds. No, because when you try to replace all the things that God did for you to enable you to be born again of the Spirit, to be regenerated on all the four stages, to be washed, all your former sins to be washed away, you look at to the Lord spiritually like a sore red thumb sticking up, because there's no sins forgiven in the blood of Jesus. You're walking around deceived, and you're still corrupt in your sins. And even after people get saved, they don't start living the regenerated type of life. They didn't put their old life behind them because they're so proud. They're dirty, stinking, dying, corrupted flesh. Satanic flesh leads, guides, and directs the things that they say and the things that they do. Okay, so after regeneration, we have to look into a regenerated life too, because a lot of people that were regenerated fall away. We have people that were in the church that were saved. And when I hear these liars say that, once saved, always saved, I get me exceedingly angry because I know they're teaching people that things that are totally corrupt, and they're deceiving people into the lake of fire. So our condition before regeneration, the first thing is that our nature is corrupt. I'm going to read it again. Jeremiah 17:19 states that the heart, the human heart, the natural, unregenerated heart, is deceitful above everything in this world, above all things. And it is exceedingly corrupt. This is above everything that you could possibly know. Amen?
Amen.
About your natural life, your unregenerated life. So that we have to consider the before we're regenerated and after we're regenerated or born again of the Spirit. Who can know it? God knows, but who of people can know it? The only way you can know it is to read what God says about it and receive it. This verse speaks of man's heart. It actually refers to man's nature. That's what our nature is like before regeneration. Deceived, corrupt. Therefore, we see that before we are with God's Holy Spirit in us, regenerated that he is, our original nature is deceitful. Deceitful means that we're shifty. We don't understand what's going on in our heart. We think we're right. So we lie to ourselves, and we lie to others. We don't like to be called a liar because we have this pride. The Bible calls pride goes before a fall. Amen?
Amen.
You're full of pride. You know, you see a parade, and here's all these flags and everything, and that's pride. And crooked, extremely corrupt. I mean, everything that God says is just in reverse in you. And I know so many people that claim to be saved that are living the they think they're living the regenerated life, and they're not regenerated at all. They haven't gone through all the stages. They haven't put their old corrupt, deceived, corrupt nature behind them. They still lie. They're still full of self-pity. And they copy people. And they don't even know what they're copying. I mean, I can preach the gospel to them, and it doesn't really get into their deceived heart the way it's supposed to, because they're ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth that they have to live that life. And when I hear them talk, corrupt stuff comes out of their rotten, filthy mouths. Shows me that their nature is still unregenerated. And they blink their eyes at you as though you're maybe telling them something wrong. They look puffed up. And they're deceived into thinking they're somebody that they're not. They lie. They're extremely corrupt and unable to match God's nature. They just are unable to match God's nature. They like to laugh and joke and talk. Let's talk, they say. They make me sick to my stomach. And they make God even sicker to his stomach, because what they're doing is claiming to be somebody that they're not. And you can just tell by them talking to you. So, but you have to, he said, but you're supposed to be forgiving. You dead dog, don't tell a person that's alive, that the Spirit of God is alive in, what I'm supposed to do. I'm the teacher, not you. Amen?
Amen.
I remember one time I was joked, I just was telling, I used to wrestle when I was a kid, and I was in the dressing room with Hulk Hogan, and we were talking and having a good time, and he says, you know, Hulk, I used to wrestle when I was a kid, I'd like to wrestle you, and he says, oh, wait a minute, he says, you're the clothing designer, and I'm the wrestler. I said, well, you know, I've wrestled before, you know, and I could wrestle again. He just shook his head like he does when he acts like he's being offended. But Hulk is a good old boy, and he needs to be born again. I don't know what his story is in that regard. I don't think he's saved for sure. In the second place, the heart is hardened towards God. If you're not receiving what the Lord says, not only are you still deceived and corrupt, but you're just hardened against hearing your true nature, because the Word of God tells you what the godly nature is and what the carnal nature is, your natural nature. It's hardened towards God. It's hard toward God, like Ezekiel says. Now, Ezekiel 36, verses 26, talks of our original heart as the, quote, stony heart. You won't receive what God says. It's like a stone trying to get something smart into a stone. A stone is a stone. It's a stone is a stone. It's just like granite. It's dead, corrupt, above all things, deceived and corrupt and stony. So that's Ezekiel 36, 26. The original heart, the heart that's in you is stony. And that's when every man's heart is stony. This means that before we're regenerated, our heart towards God is always hard, deceived, corrupt. We are in rebellion or stubborn against the Lord. And again, it's words like granite, hard, granite, stone. In the third place, our spirit is dead toward God. We like to hear the gospel, but, you know, who ever thought of doing what the Lord says? And when you're told to obey those that have the rule over you, you don't. You think it's a big joke. That's part of your deceitful and corrupt heart and your stony heart. You can't get that into your heart, your spirit, your mind. You're just smarter than God and God's people. You think they're corny and that you're hip. This is all before regeneration, because of sins. Because you're a sinner, that's why it's that way. Ephesians 2:1. Our spirit is dead towards God. And has, look that up, Ephesians 2:1, second chapter of Ephesians, verse 1. Our spirit is dead towards God and has lost its function to even reach God. We can't even reach God. And you know something? You're so deceived and corrupt and dead that you don't even want to. And that's why you don't. Okay, read it.
And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins.
You were dead, it says there. Amen?
Amen.
Well, I'm glad you agree. So if you're not alive, if you're alive to God, you listen to those that have the rule over you, don't you?
Amen.
You don't argue with them if they're quoting the scriptures and telling you the way you are. Well, then why should you kick against God's word? It's like kicking against cactus with really sharp points. on these quills that are in there. So, you're dead, Ephesians states. And you've lost, there's no function to reach God. And there's no even desire to, because you're dead. You don't pray. You people that are that call yourselves Christian, you don't really read. And when you're reading, you don't even know what you're reading, because the Lord isn't anointing it. So we are not able, therefore, to have fellowship with the Lord God. So you can't have any leading, guiding, or direction as well. You figure, well, we have a pastor that leads, guides, and directs us. That's why they call them spiritual leaders. But the spiritual leader is the one telling you that you have to be a spiritual leader too. Amen?
Amen.
That you have to learn to be led by the Lord. Nor can we understand the spiritual things of God. In the fourth place, humanity, before we are saved, we are separated from God's immortal life. Since the nature of a man who has not reached regeneration, God's life, in other words, in them, is corrupt. His heart toward God is hardened, and his spirit towards God is dead, and he's deceived in every way. His entire person, therefore, is separated from God's life. Read Ephesians 4:18. So this is our condition before we are regenerated. Read it.
Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart.
Your heart is blind, ignorant, stupid judges, stupid prosecutors that exalt themselves and walk around with capes on them, as though they are like gods or something. They're horrible. During our regeneration, this is our condition. This is our condition. Okay, so we're going to tell about what your condition is. In the first place, we see that our nature is corrupt. When you're regenerated, you see that. But before that, you're blind. Before regeneration, our nature was corrupt, yet we did not know it, because the dead know nothing. That's why people that are still Christians, and they won't listen to those that have the rule over them, and they won't listen to the Word of God, they're corrupted, they don't know it, because they're dead, and the dead know nothing. I just keep saying that, because the Bible says that. We had no idea. It didn't even occur to us. I didn't. And I know, I don't know anybody that did know anything. They play cards. They watch TV. They go to movies. They go to Vegas and gamble. They go to whorehouses. They just talk and to each other. With meaningless words. I mean, they're just talking about nothing. They like to shop. I've heard so many testimonies. It was at this time of experiencing regeneration, because of the Holy Spirit's enlightenment, that we are able to see ourselves to be corrupt. At the saying, well, we know we're corrupted, then we lean on God's word, because we know his word is not corrupt, it's pure. Amen? Amen? So we do what he says, and if we don't do what he says, then we're still corrupt. Even after regeneration, at the same time, we not only see that our external deeds are corrupt, but also that our inner man or nature is corrupt. And two, our heart is the exact opposite of contrition. We're not contrite. When it was regenerated, our heart now becomes contrite and repentant towards God. When we experience regeneration by the Holy Spirit, enlightenment to us, in other words, we see ourselves as corrupt, sinning against God and man, that we did that before. Our heart then reproaches us and is contrite, and it becomes repentant before God. And we want to receive what the Lord says now and do it so that we're not considered unregenerated again. We listen to those that have the rule over us that God put over us. We don't sass them back. Amen?
Amen.
In the third place, our spirit is contrite towards God because of the repentance of our heart. We don't want to be corrupt any longer. The spirit, deep within us, is able to feel extremely contrite. That's our own spirit. Our spirit at this time is like that of Pharaoh. Is it? No, it's not like Pharaoh at all. Amen?
Amen.
Pharaoh's heart was hardened. So it's the same as in Psalm 51:17, which states, a broken spirit, our heart is broken. When we are being regenerated of the Holy Spirit, our spirit, which is very deep within us, feels contrite, as if we were broken. Fortunately, man is able to contact God's life at that time. Since man sinned and was disobedient to God, because any disobedience to God is sin, and therefore all everyone fell and was driven out of the Garden of Eden because we were in Adam and Eve. The cherubim with the flaming sword was guarding the very way of the tree of life. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Genesis 3:24. So that man could no longer contact the Lord. Could not, in other words, contact Jesus, the tree of life. Could no longer contact life. Eternal life. The tree of life, which is symbolic of Christ, and it is Christ, and thereby obtains God's life. Not until the Lord Jesus shed his precious blood on the cross at Calvary and died on the cross, therefore satisfying the demand of God's glory. I see my time is up. It's time to be saved. Amen?
Amen.
So if you want to be born again of the Spirit and stop being so deceived, everything that you hear is a deception in this world. It's corrupt. And somehow, you know, a lot of souls know that, but they don't know how they can get out of it. I told you how. And right now is the way to get out of it, by saying this prayer to the Lord. And let the Lord get into you and start reading what he says about you and others. Say this to the Lord. Say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins, my former filthy sins. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away, the former filthy sins away, in the blood of Jesus. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I am saved, and I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands in praise and thank the Lord. And now get baptized, fully submerged in water, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Get the seven spirits, the compounded spirits of God, the baptism of the Holy Spirit in you, so you can be doing a work for the Lord. And here's Sharon now to tell you four different ways to receive a copy of this program, number 348. Please specify whether you want a CD or a audio tape. It's free of charge. Postage and handling is also paid in full.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
This is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for another powerful message in the Lord. And here's the Life Choir, H.B. Barnum's Life Choir, to sing the Life Prayer Song.